On the next Transformed.
God, if you're there, like, how would you allow this as well? And why would you allow this to happen?
Haiti shares her crisis of faith and how the Bible became a light to her spiritual path. That's next on Transformed. Welcome to Transformed, a program where we share testimonies of God's amazing love and transforming power. A dating relationship blossoms into marriage and a new spiritual journey for Rod. We'll talk to him about his experiences as military assignments take him around the world and back. Fear of dark brings little kids running to their parents' room at night. Pastor Chris Holland talks about a deeper, darker fear many of us struggle to face. His devotional is still ahead. First up, Haiti's story of overcoming a dark place where she had lost all hope. A crisis of faith that no one knew about, not even her children or her husband. I talked with Haiti earlier, and she shared her story with me.
Well, my husband was in the military, and at that time, we were stationed in another country, specifically in the Republic of South Korea. So that alone was already kind of difficult, transitioning to a different language, a different culture, different stores. And at that time, shortly before I had gone to Korea, my parents had actually introduced me and taken me with them to visit an 11-year-old girl that was related to a member of their church. This little girl had lost her father, I think, a year before that. And the entire family, the mother with her five children, I think it was, had relocated from their country to the United States to kind of start afresh. And one day she had complained, the little girl, about pain in her knee. And they went and took her into the doctor and found out that it was cancer. And I had been able to go and visit her and had just like really become very attached to this little girl. I don't know why, just seeing a child that's sick is very different than seeing an adult that's sick. And so I joined in my parents' prayers and in the prayers of the church in lifting her up. And I was 100% certain that God was going to heal her and that everything was going to be okay. But unfortunately, she passed away shortly after we got to Korea. And that hit me really hard. I'm really not sure why, because she's not like my family member or something. I just was so certain that God would save her. And I was praying for her and other people were praying for her. And just seeing someone so innocent die and thinking about the struggle of the family having lost the father within the past year or so, and then losing this little girl, that really took me to a really dark place where I just started to say, you know, if you're there, God, and you're all powerful and you're all loving, then why would you allow this? Why wouldn't you save that little girl? Because I would have saved her. Now, I'm not God, but this is what I was reasoning in my mind. At the same time, I was also watching this series on sex trafficking and stuff around the world, and it was a news outlet that was exposing how prevalent that is in countries all around the world, the United States and India and Cambodia, and going from one country to another. And when I was watching that, that also like really upset me and bothered me.
What did you do? How did God show himself to you in the midst of that faith crisis that gave you courage to say, God, I may not understand all of the questions and I don't have all of the answers, but you are real and you are here.
So first, it got way worse before it got better. And that was pretty much all that I thought about. My family didn't even know that I was thinking these things, but we were having family worship every day, my husband and my children, but I was consumed by this day and night. And I was even having difficulty sleeping because I would just lay awake in the bed, looking up at the ceiling, consumed by these thoughts. And they were just pulling me into a dark hole. So one day I said, this isn't healthy. I need to tell someone what I'm experiencing and the thoughts that are in my mind. So I talked to my mom. I called her up on Skype and I shared what I was feeling. And I would love to say that that solved everything and that I felt better, but that unfortunately wasn't the case. She was basically like, my daughter's an atheist after I raised her from birth, from even the womb, you know, to believe in God and to trust in God. And she's been baptized twice because I was rebaptized as an adult. I had commitment to the Lord. Now she's turned away from God. But she didn't. So she told me, aside from her panicking, that I should still talk to God and that I should tell him everything that I was thinking and feeling and all the things that I shared with her. So I said, okay, whatever, kind of was how I felt. But that night and for several nights, I tried to talk with God, which was weird because I was like, I don't even know if you can hear me. I don't even know if you're real, but this is what I'm feeling and why. Some time went by, I don't remember how long. And one day when I was speaking with my brother, the topic just naturally came up. And now I see 100% that that was the Holy Spirit. And we started to talk about all these things. And my brother told me, I've had these thoughts and these questions too. And I'm going to be honest, I don't remember all the things that we talked about, but that began to help me. At the same time as I had that conversation with my brother, my family and I had begun to watch Hope Sabbath School on Friday nights, which was Sabbath morning in the United States. And every time that we would watch this show, I would sit there and I would read every passage of scripture with the Hope Sabbath School team. I wouldn't just listen or just read on the screen. I'd say, I want to see in my Bible if this is what it says. So here's my Bible, by the way. I'm so proud. I love my Bible. It's English, Spanish, and it's been rebound because it was actually falling apart. Praise God. But I would open it up and I would read along with you guys. And the more and more and more that I read, I gradually came out of that hole that I was in. I gradually came out of that place where I was questioning, is God even real? My faith just kept growing and growing until one day it's like, you don't even realize. You just look back and you're like, oh, wow, I'm not in that place anymore. Praise God. Like, and I'm so far from it. I like believe in God wholeheartedly now. And I see that pain is just a part of a sinful world and of sin itself. It isn't God causing it. You know, I don't know. So for me, those were the things that helped to bring me out of that hole.
Today, Haiti is a very active member of our Hope Sabbath School team. You may have noticed her during one of the programs. It is amazing to see how God has led her to become part of the very Bible study that helped bring her transformation. Her journey through the darkness of despair to the light of healing has given her a powerful testimony. What is your story of transformation? I encourage you to share it with us. Visit hopetv.org/transform and share your testimony with us. We would love to hear from you. Thank you for your letters and stories of how God is leading in your lives. Our Hope Channel team is so encouraged to hear from you. Here are just a few emails that we've received recently. Ricky writes from Illinois in the United States and says, I am a 68-year-old physician. I live near Hinsdale, Illinois. I often watch your programs. It brings joy to my heart and tears to my eyes. It's heartwarming to see your sincerity. Thank you for your reassurance that salvation is a gift from God. Well, what a beautiful testimony. Thank you, Ricky, for writing to us from Illinois here in the United States. Here's a note from Rhode Island, also in the USA. Mary Lou writes and says, my husband and I watch Hope Channel all the time. We enjoy it so much and receive so many blessings. Love all the members and miss them when they're not there. May God bless you. Well, Mary Lou, thanks for writing to us from Rhode Island. You know, it's wonderful to see how Bible-based programming is used by the Holy Spirit to transform lives. If you have a message of transformation, we need to hear from you. Visit hopetv.org/transformed. There's a link where you can share your story. If you've been blessed by these testimonies, I want to encourage you to financially support Hope Channel. We're in the business of transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your giving sustains us and helps to change lives just like some that we've heard today. Your donation can also be a gift of thanks to God for His blessings in your life. Just go to hopetv.org/transformed to become a sustaining partner with us. That's hopetv.org/transformed. Pastor Chris Holland is up next with a story of a little boy who learned how to trust Jesus in the dark.
Have you ever been afraid of the dark? There is a story told by an anonymous author, and here's the story. There was a little boy who was afraid of the dark, and one night his mother told him to go out to the back porch and bring her the broom. The little boy turned to his mother and said, Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark. And the mother smiled reassuringly at her son. You don't have to be afraid of the dark, she said. Jesus is out there. He'll look after you and He'll protect you. The little boy looked at his mother and he asked, Are you sure He's out there? Yes, I'm sure, she said. He is everywhere, and He is always ready to help you when you need Him. So the little boy thought about that for a minute, and then he went to the back door, and he cracked it open a little bit, and peering out into the darkness, he called, Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom? Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom, fear of the dark. It's called nyctophobia. It literally means an irrational or extreme fear of the dark. It comes from the Greek words nyctos, meaning night, and phobos, meaning fear. It's caused, they believe, by the brain's reaction in creating a so-called startle response. It releases chemicals into the body and it increases your anxiety. Now, in addition to the known brain changes that occur, we also know that in the absence of light, there seems to be an increased anxiety because fear of the dark may have some type of connection to a fear of violence or being victimized. In fact, the experts also believe that darkness heightens a person's other senses. And so when a person cannot see the source of a noise or a movement, they're more likely to experience extreme fear when they hear or sense something in the dark. It all boils down to this: fear of the unknown. You know, the pandemic of COVID-19, or the coronavirus as it has been called, has seen the cancellation of events, the closing of stores, the closing of stock markets, the closing of schools, the cancellation of sports, declared states of emergency, and a declared national emergency. And you know, that would create fear enough in and of itself. However, the news cycle is filled with other issues that are fear-producing: missile attacks, natural disasters, tornadoes, etc. The list goes on. In fact, the politics of the day seemingly plunge us into deeper polarization. Fear of the unknown. But you know, God has an answer found in his book, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You see, Jesus transforms the fear of darkness to the calm of light. Do you need that transformation today? I pray that he may transform your darkness, whatever darkness you may be experiencing, to light today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, whatever darkness each of us is facing, may you transform that darkness into light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fear not, my child, I'm always with you, always. I see your pain, your every tear I hear. Believe me, my child, I'm with you, and I care for you. You belong to me, yes, you belong to me, I'm with you. I care for you, so don't be afraid, for you belong to me. I'm with you, and I care for you, for you belong to me, yes, you belong to me. I'm with you, and I care for you, so don't be afraid. You belong to
Rod admits that he was a rebellious teenager. He can't apologize enough to his mother for all those difficult times. Yet she planted a seed of spiritual desire in his heart that didn't grow until much later. But let's start the story with Rod in his teenage years.
17, I realized I was going nowhere fast, and the Marine Corps was something that I had kind of always wanted to do, and I had a friend who was doing it. He brought me to the recruiting station, and that's where it all began.
And after 4 years, you went to college, got a degree, and felt called to sign back up as an officer. So obviously God had something in mind that he was going to do for you back in the Marine Corps.
Yes, I just felt like I'd been a Marine for 4 years. They do a very good job of indoctrinating you into the service lifestyle. A lot of the values that I had come to know and love, unfortunately, at that time, I just couldn't see them in the civilian world. And so I had desired to go back in and continue serving.
So when did that significant change happen in your life where God really turned your heart towards him? What was the event that made that happen?
Well, I would probably credit it to meeting my wife. She was born and raised in the Adventist Church, and I was just really taken with her knowledge of Scripture. There were things that I knew about Scripture. Thankfully, my mother had purchased it's almost like an encyclopedia of Old Testament Bible stories. In fact, we have it downstairs and we actually share it with our children. But my wife knew all of those things cold, and I just had a surface understanding of them. And I was so impressed with that. And so I would say that in the course of our relationship, as we became more serious and we knew that we were going to be married and that eventually children were going to come into the picture, we had made a bargain to attend Mass, Catholic Mass, and then I agreed that I would try the Adventist Church. And so that was the initial agreement that we had put in place.
And then a preacher came along. I don't know if you first watched on television or first in person, but Doug Batchelor came along and began to teach the Scriptures, and that really impacted your life.
It certainly did. And we were at that time living in Sacramento, California, and I was going to school at a university, California State University, Sacramento, which was actually right across the street from the Sac Central Church, where at that time Pastor Batchelor was the head pastor. And so it was a local cable access channel I began watching, which was just the Sac Central Study Hour. And my wife sat down with me one time and said, "You know, I'm pretty sure that gentleman is an Adventist." And I didn't know he was an Adventist. I evidently wasn't paying attention, or I just glossed over that. Maybe the Lord just, put that denominational thing aside and allowed me to focus on it. And eventually she said, "It turns out that church is right across from the university and we could attend anytime." And we did. I found Hope Sabbath School, and I'll tell you, it was just exactly what I was looking for at the time. There's some language barriers when you're living overseas, and I didn't at that time find a lot of other like-minded Seventh-day Adventists or just Seventh-day Adventists in general in that duty station. And so Hope Sabbath School truly was a godsend to me because it gave me an English-speaking group of like-minded individuals to have an interactive study with. Well, I wasn't interacting. At least you couldn't hear me.
How has your personal connection with the Hope Sabbath School team impacted your life?
Well, I think it has really put in perspective how important God's work is and how a few dedicated folks can reach the entire world, every corner of the world, which is ultimately what needs to happen and what God wants us to do.
And as you've seen, we don't know all of the answers, but we're searching in the Word of God. What encouragement would you give to someone who perhaps is on a similar journey to the journey you've been on?
I would say absolutely stay in the Word of God. And if at all possible, everybody has something to share. So read something, share something, and then group together as much as you possibly can, because an interactive study is the best way to go.
Rod, thanks for sharing with us. We're blessed that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School team now and for the way God's transformed your life.
Thank you.
Rod didn't realize at first that it was the Holy Spirit who was working on his heart, encouraging his desire to know more about God and the treasures of his word. Sometimes the faith journey is long and winding. It never really ends as we learn daily about our Father's love, mercy, and grace toward us. Do you have a testimony to share? Tell us about it at hopetv.org/transformed. There you'll find a link to email your story of transformation. And while you're there, I encourage you to make a donation to support the Ministry of Hope Channel. You can become a sustaining partner in our mission to transform lives for God. Won't you join us? That's hopetv.org/transformed. Thank you for joining me for Transformed today. And remember 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. May God continue to transform your life.